This is the Eye on Potatoes, brought to you by the National Potato Council. The Eye is the place to tune in for conversations with growers and thought leaders on advocacy, production, and all things potatoes. Now, here's your host, Lane Nordland.
Hello and welcome back to the Eye on Potatoes podcast. Lane Nordland, happy to be with you here today discussing the issues that are impacting the industry for our farmers out in the countryside. And of course, bringing the countryside to DC and DC to the countryside, as I like to say. Thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast. And our topic today is going to focus on a very important sector of the industry, that being transportation. And joining me here today is a fellow Montana native, Mr. John Sampson, the Executive Director of the Agricultural and Food Transporter Conference with the American Trucking Association. John, thanks for joining us here today. How are things out in the nation's capital area here today?
Lane, I appreciate the offer to be on the show today, and appreciate the offer to participate with the National Potato Council. And things are, as you can imagine, beginning of 2020, a bit of an interesting time here in Washington, D.C. But as the largest advocacy trucking group out here in D.C., we try to focus on our transportation issues, and particularly from my end, looking at the agriculture and food side. It's really having to do with the agriculture transportation piece of it. So we've got a lot going on. We're very busy, and not only are we looking at agriculture transportation issues, but we're looking at a highway bill coming up as well.
Okay. One thing that I would love to just maybe expand upon more for our listeners out there today is your experience in the industry. You grew up in Three Forks, Montana, just down the road from where I live. You attended Montana State University, my alma mater as well. What really sparked your passion to head out to the Beltway and take the knowledge and the hard work that you learned growing up in the countryside to the position you have now out in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I grew up, as you mentioned, about 30 miles west of Bozeman on a small family hog farm, and kind of seeing the way agriculture works in southwest Montana, from anything from the marketing of hogs to the feeding of hogs to the health of hogs to the transport of hogs. And so it was a great way to grow up, but understood that perhaps agriculture and farming on the farm may not be exactly for me. So I decided to come out here at my father's push of the hand to take an internship with the National Pork Producers Council. And from there, kind of got the political bug and worked on the Hill for Max Baucus for a few years. And throughout that time, I kind of stayed in the agriculture industry, which I enjoyed, but then also coupled that with transportation issues. And that was important because southwest Montana hogs are not being slaughtered in Montana. And so transportation was a huge issue. We were going both California and Idaho were our closest destinations. And so really understanding from the agriculture side of the cost of transportation, and it's kind of fueled my interest and set me on the path that I'm at today. And it's been extraordinarily interesting over the past 15 years to kind of look at agriculture outside of the farm, but from a policy standpoint. And so hopefully over that 15 years, I've done a little bit of good for the industry.
Well, I just wanted to bring up your background to show our audience the connection that so many out in Washington, D.C. have to the countryside and the interests that individuals like you and the associations have on their behalf. And, you know, as you mentioned, there's a lot going on here in the early part of 2020. And a lot of issues with transportation, dealing around hours of service, with electronic logging devices, different definitions within transportation for agriculture products. Could you just give a brief update on the American Trucking Association's work on electronic logging devices and how that has, of course, impacted the potato industry, but also the work that's gone in a lot of those delays of implementation on that mandate as well?
I know electronic logging devices were a bit of a sticking point for a lot within the industry. It was the general ATA's position to support and push those throughout the entire process. From an agriculture side, I heard from a lot of my members, and we work very closely with a lot of groups around D.C., including the Potato Council, Cattlemen's Pork. And there was a little bit, I wouldn't say, I guess a little bit's probably understating it. There was quite a bit of trepidation going in about putting an electronic logging device onto your vehicle. And although it didn't really change anything as far as the hours of service goes, the idea of perhaps not having as much flexibility in operating your vehicle was a big sticking point. There was a big sticking point on the exemptions as well, and getting the electronic logging devices to be able to understand and operate within those exemptions as well. And so now that we've kind of gotten down the path a little bit, it's not as big of an issue as it was before. There still are plenty of problems that pop up. But now, just this past December, we had AOBRs that were phased into ELDs as well. That was kind of the last piece of the puzzle. We do have a livestock community that is currently exempted from ELDs, and that continues in the most recent funding package that was passed in December. And so that will continue to take place throughout September of 2020. But the most of the industry has understood that it's probably most likely a part of the path going forward. And what that really has done is spur more discussion as far as hours of service flexibility goes. And that's really been a part of both not just the agriculture sector, but really all of trucking, to really dial down and look at the hours of service rules as is and figure out a way where maybe we could have a little wiggle room here and there. And I think that's the important discussion that we're having today.
And also to have that discussion, it's so important to have members of groups like the National Potato Council and other ag commodity groups out there sharing their knowledge and also a common sense approach to these rules as well, because just sharing that firsthand account is so important. What's maybe your message to producers listening today on the importance of being involved with their associations and having a voice out in Washington, D.C.?
After being up here for 15 plus years, you start to understand how Capitol Hill works, you understand how the agencies work. And you realize, especially from looking at the Department of Transportation, for example, a lot of their focus, especially when you get into the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, who is the overseeing arm of the hours of service, there's not a lot of agriculture-focused people that are working underneath that umbrella. And so what we've done significantly over the past decade is educate FMCSA officials, enforcement officials, other DOT officials, really on how agriculture operates, understanding that we're not hauling T-shirts, we're not hauling boxes of cereal. You know, sometimes this is a live animal, sometimes this is a perishable product, and sometimes the timing of when you're moving said product is going to be condensed because of weather or some other issue. And so having that voice from the D.C. side, especially if you grew up in the industry, is extraordinarily important when you're pitching your ideas and your thoughts to these different government agencies, because although they are very receptive to change, they're also not fully understanding of how our industry works. And so being able to, and again, we work incredibly well together throughout the entire agriculture industry to educate DOT officials. And you know, you'd be surprised by how much we're educating and talking with USDA officials that fully don't understand some of our issues as well. But getting that opportunity to educate those DOT officials and figure out, you know, this is what's happening out in the field, this is what's happening out in the countryside, and this is why we need certain changes and certain fixes. And so I think without that voice, you'd be getting a heck of a lot of changes and restrictions out there that wouldn't exactly be targeted, just not understood of how they're impacting the industry.
John, thanks for sharing that aspect of involvement and the importance of producers participating in events like the National Potato Council's DC Fly-In. That's going to be coming up February 24th through the 27th. And if you've never been to the nation's capital, if you haven't had your boots on the ground and shared your experiences with elected officials, with agencies, and with staff of elected officials, this is a real opportunity to do exactly what John was describing and having your voice heard and being a part of the policy process. John, I kind of got off into the weeds there on that. What are some other issues? I know you mentioned that there's some work on the definition of agriculture commodities within some of the transportation language as well.
There is. There's been a agriculture definition that has been worked off of for many years, going back a couple decades for the Department of Transportation. And it's interesting that a definition for an agriculture commodity is different throughout multiple agencies. And so what we're trying to do is bring some uniformity to what a definition or what the commodity, agriculture commodity definition is. And so right now, DOT has a definition of an agriculture commodity that's any agriculture commodity. And they understandably look at that as something that's probably a bit too broad. And so what we're trying to do is bring that to a little bit more of a specific understanding while also keeping it general enough where we're going to encompass every product that we believe is an actual agriculture commodity. And so in October of 2019, we submitted along with the signatures from 100 groups a definition that we thought was appropriate to replace the current definition. And what it does is it looks at any commodity that's grown and harvested for food, feed, fiber, and fuel. It looks at the change, the livestock community, and the change that was made to the livestock community to include all live fish, llamas, alpacas. The definition that is used traditionally was from a livestock definition of USDA's from the late 80s, and that includes reindeer, elk, pretty much everything that is animal related. And in addition to those, we attempted to include horticulture, floriculture, you know, a lot of the landscaping, sod communities, and really to encompass everything that is agriculture that's outside of perhaps, you know, a traditional agriculture, potatoes, rice, soybeans, that type of thing. And so what we wanted to do is get a definition together that wasn't going to have to be revisited in 5 or 10 years. And so I think we got to that point, and it's very important point because that definition works off of the hours of service agricultural exemption, which I believe Dominic's going to be covering as well. Yep. But that's a definition that's been in place since 1995. A reason that my group was originally formed was to fight for that definition. And so every commodity that's exempted from that definition right now is a little bit less defined than what this new definition would be. And so we think it would be very helpful for the industry as a whole.
Well, John, thank you for sharing that aspect of the work that the Trucking Association is doing on behalf of so many sectors of agriculture, but of course the National Potato Council as well. I know you got a busy day out in the Beltway, but are there any other key areas that you want to share with our friends listening on the podcast here today?
I guess briefly, one other hours of service piece, which I think will be impactful, even though it's not specifically directed at agriculture. And just to touch on one of your earlier points, I have had a chance to speak at the National Potato Council's fly-in, and they get a great array of speakers, and it looks like it's quite the event. So I would second attending that. But back to the hours of service, in addition to the changes in the definition or the proposed changes in the definition, there's also been some proposed changes to just the general hours of service rules. And right now, that's in a proposed rulemaking. And so the way that it breaks down from an agency level, they usually give you an advance notice of proposed rulemaking asking if they should do it. Then they'll give you a proposed rulemaking providing specifics of what they're trying to do. And then they'll come out with a final rule, and that's kind of going to be the lay of the land going forward. So what we're doing right now is a proposed rulemaking, potential changes to hours of service. One of them is on the short haul exemption. So this is outside agriculture. This is the general short haul exemption, which would be any supplies that go into potentially a farm that are outside of the commodity itself. But that would increase the air mileage radius, making it uniform with the ag exemption from 100 to 150 air miles. That would also include an increase in the on-duty day from 12 hours, making it uniform to a 14-hour day as the general hours of service rules state right now. Two other minor things that it would do, it would extend right now. We have a split sleeper berth potential of splitting your 10-hour sleeper berth from 8 to 2 hours. It would allow flexibility to go as far as 7 and 3 hours. So it would allow you to have more flexibility in that split sleeper berth. And then lastly, and this could be a big one because of any sort of detention time or wait time, but it would allow you to pause your 14-hour on-duty clock. Right now you've got 11 hours of drive time available per day, 14 hours of on-duty time. It would allow you to pause that 14-hour clock for up to 3 hours just once. And so you could potentially pause, take a break, go eat dinner, take a nap, whatever you're doing, and then continue and be able to extend that on-duty time or on-duty day up to 17 hours. And so we look at those as fairly beneficial to the industry. We're hoping that sometime in the near future, they'll come out with a response to that, and we're hoping that it'll be a positive response as far as those changes go.
John, the million-dollar question now is, when will we see the light at the end of the tunnel when some of these exemptions will become permanent for the agriculture sector?
From this administration, and it kind of ebbs and flows with a Democrat and Republican administration, where usually from the Democratic side, you tend to get more regulations on the books and pushed forward, and the Republicans usually either try to chip away at some of those regulations that have been put in place or at least slow the process down. And so what we've seen over the past 3 years is a slowing of those regulatory agenda items. But what we believe is going to happen within the next couple months is a little bit of a surge. So the stuff that's already inside or on the docket, it looks like we'll start to see that stuff come out over the next month or so. We're not quite sure on the ag commodity side as far as the definition goes, but when we talk about the hours of service stuff, it looks like, you know, they've got to go through a budget process, make sure it's not going to have any negative financial impacts on certain industries. But once they do that, then they get it out fairly shortly. So, and this is going to be true for both the regulatory and the legislative side. Once we get into late spring, early summer, the entire process will shut down for the elections. Mm-hmm. So what we'll be doing over the next couple of months is really pressing FMCSA and DOT, utilizing, you know, outside groups such as the Potato Council, as well as USDA, and we put and Hill members as well, to put pressure on DOT, stating that this is of great importance. We need to see this. We need to get this going. And so hopefully we're pretty optimistic that we'll see things start to move here in the next month or two.
John, is there anything else that you would like to add for our listeners to be aware of all the work that the American Trucking Association is doing on their behalf in their collaboration with the National Potato Council?
I guess one more point to make before I go. And again, it's always great to talk to a fellow Montanan. And I grew up around plenty of potato production out in southwest Montana. And so it's always great to work with everybody back home. And even though I don't get back there enough, it's nice to at least chat with people on the phone. Lastly, one of the things, and it plagues both the trucking side and the agriculture side, but it has to do with aging workforce, has to do with bringing younger people into the industry. And so ATA has been working on what's called the Drive Safe Act. And I'm not sure if Cam's going to cover that or not, but I'll give a brief overview. But what we're trying to do right now, intrastate drivers in 48 of the domestic states can be 18 and have a CDL. But if you start to cross border lines, if you're in interstate commerce, you all of a sudden now have to be 21. And that's a massive group of potential applicants that trucking cannot tap into right now. And so what we're trying to do, we've got legislation that would lower that minimum age from 21 to 18. There's a lot of different training requirements. There's a lot of different technology requirements. But it would at least be the start of understanding that lowering that age would be something that very beneficial to the industry. And so along with that conversation, we've started a big relationship with FFA to understand that we've got some unbelievable agriculture minds, unbelievable young agriculture folks out there. I believe they have a 700,000 person membership right now. And as you and I know, there's not 700,000 agriculture jobs out there right now. And so what we're trying to do is get some younger blood into the industry. We're trying to understand and educate some of those younger folks about trucking and let them know that agriculture is important. There's this whole supply chain within the industry, and transportation is one of those pieces of that supply chain. And so we're trying to work back and forth, and I think it would be a really good mutually beneficial relationship. But at the end of the day, it's allowing those younger people in agriculture to be successful. It's allowing younger people in trucking to be successful, and it's something that we'll be pushing really hard in 2020. But I think, especially considering our aging workforce in both respective industries, it would be an extraordinarily benefit to everybody. And so I think that's probably the best point I can go out on.
As a past FFA member and past state FFA president here in Montana, I just think that's so great to see all these different industry leaders and associations coming together and seeing the value in career and technical education and just all the hard work that comes from these FFA members. I take my hat off to you all for looking towards these future leaders in the industry, and I think that's a great opportunity to look for a great workforce and great leaders of agriculture from all different backgrounds. So again, friends, for more information on the American Trucking Association, you can visit them at trucking.org. And again, John Sampson, the Agriculture and Food Transporter Conference Executive Director for the American Trucking Association. John, thanks for joining us.
Lane, I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure, and thanks for having me.
All right, well, go Bobcats, since John and I are Montana State University alumni. Don't go away, friends. We'll have more on our Eye on Potatoes podcast discussing transportation right after this. As we come back to today's show discussing transportation here in the 21st century and the issues that impact producers and manufacturers and all aspects of the industry, we are going to the state of Maine now. Our guest is Dominic LaJoy, of course, with LaJoy Growers there in the state of Maine. Many of you in the potato industry know Dominic. He's the vice president currently of the Environmental Affairs Committee for the National Potato Council. But Dominic, how are things up in the northeastern part of our nation here today?
Well, things are going well here in Maine. Starting off the new year on mild temperatures, which is always good to have in January. So weather-wise, we're behind on snowfall. So, but overall, we're starting the new year's out on a good note.
Which it's always good to start the new year off good and look towards the months ahead. And Dominic, for our audience that maybe isn't familiar with you, could you maybe talk about LaJoy Growers and the operation up there that you have with your family and all the entities that you serve?
Yeah, so LaJoy Growers, we're five generations strong here on our farm. We grow specialty purple potatoes as a main crop, and we're also grown potatoes for the fry industry and the seed industry. So we're a pretty diverse operation. We do grow several vegetables, root vegetables, beets, and carrots for a few niche markets that we've developed. Overall, we rotate with small grains, but we're a fairly strong family farm, and we also have a trucking company tied to the farm to service our customers here in the Northeast and East Coast.
Dominic, we know there's a lot of issues that impact our businesses on the state and federal levels, and today's show is centered around transportation here in the 21st century. We just talked with John Sampson with the American Trucking Association about the hours of service rules and electronic logging devices, and transportation is a key part of your business, and I believe you were a full-time trucker back in the 80s, is that correct?
Yes, I was. I was actually an owner-operator back in the late 80s, early 90s. So I was on the road for about 8 years, first part of my career.
So jamming gears and being on the road, you understand all aspects of the industry and of the issues. So for yourself as a producer, and of course having a trucking component to LaJoy Growers, how would the ELD and hours of service regulations impact your family business if there were not currently exemptions in place for the ag sector?
Well, I think, you know, the main component in the hours of service as far as the ag exemption goes and is that we're delivering fresh potatoes to market. Quality, the freshness coming out of storages is critical, especially if they're going to our chip processor that needs optimum quality at time of frying. So any delay in shipments because of hours of service would be, you know, quality would be a quality issue on our customers' finished product. And being in a rural area as far north as we are, our customers are just about 11 to 12 hours away from our warehouses. So if we would have to add an extra day to that trip, if we didn't have the ag exemption component, then obviously freshness and quality would be degraded. You know, anytime you have fresh produce on a trailer, for any extended length of time, you know, quality deteriorates because they're in an environment that's closed and less oxygen to breathe, and things happen. So it's critical that the ag exemption and hours of service, you know, moving forward, stay where they are or even get better for food safety reasons and freshness and quality of produce.
And it's all about a common sense approach and working with these elected and appointed officials to really share that story. What are maybe an example or two of interactions you had maybe with your buyers, maybe with maybe agency officials discussing the impact that ELDs would have on your business? Have you had any interactions that you came away walking away from knowing that you made a difference in educating those individuals?
I think that the aspect of taking things for granted on you know, servicing and delivering farm goods, whether it's produce or livestock or whatever it takes to supply the food chain, I think education is critical in that. You know, you can't just order product and expect it to be there exactly when you want it. So I think that up front, our buyers realize that, you know, they're placing their orders a week in advance to make sure that we can line up the truck and to make things work and keep our drivers legal and get the product there when they need it. So the days of last-minute ordering and trying to fill gaps is kind of, you know, business has changed. People realize that advance notice is very critical in getting top quality freshness and delivered to their docks.
It's obvious that you need a workforce to get your product to your buyers into the marketplace. Let's talk about maybe some of the struggles that you have in your business and that many have in agricultural businesses and trying to find a reliable workforce. And in your case, on the transportation end, finding qualified individuals to transport your goods.
Yeah, it's been a challenge. Obviously, we've updated the equipment. We got top of the line trucks to work with, so we to attract drivers and keep them interested. But I think overall, it's important to keep the image of drivers out there positive. Infrastructure really is an issue. Drivers don't want to go to certain areas of the East Coast. They don't want to go in the New York City area. They don't want to spend time in traffic. There is very limited spaces to park when they need to take their sleeper berth or their off-duty hours. So it becomes a challenge for drivers to get a comfort level in knowing, you know, delivering into these areas that they will have room to stay legal and get the job done properly. It's critical that traffic movement and infrastructure improves, I think, in the future if we're going to attract younger drivers to this profession for sure.
So you mentioned these challenges and how the industry is trying to address them. But for yourself, what are some of those changes that you've seen in the trucking aspect of your business since the 80s when you were involved in it full time?
Well, I think the biggest change is, and obviously it's tied to technology, is you know, truck safety, driver safety. We're vetting drivers more properly. You know, we're getting drivers that are healthier. Medical issues have become a safety concern. So there's a lot of changes that have happened on that side, and that obviously creates short-term shortages for drivers, and it alerts drivers to, you know, keep in touch with their health and stay healthy if they want to keep their commercial driver's license. But, you know, and safety on equipment, I think the next step in the upcoming years, hopefully, is that we get to add axles to our trailers and add and increase weight limits so we can get more product and, you know, on the less miles to get more product to market. As far as more weight, burning the same fuel would be proactive and, you know, environmentally. But in order to do that, I mean, obviously we have a lot of infrastructure, a lot of bridges to repair and rebuild, and a lot of things have to happen to get to the next level.
And you mentioned there burning less fuel, getting more product on those trucks. Profit-wise, how much more would your operation possibly save or gain with those increases of truck weight limits on trucks that are going down the road?
I guess to put it in perspective, we have a customer that demands 3 trailer loads a week. We could actually turn that into 2 trailer loads a week, so a whole trip would be wiped out as far as in getting the same amount of product to the market, which means that we could haul something else to fill in that gap in the weekly run of the trucking side of things. And at the end of the day, it's customers are always looking for savings, cost savings. And if we can provide any cost savings to the customers, it creates more value to our potatoes or our produce. So in turn, we might be able to see some benefit there in keeping some of that money for what we've invested on the farm as well.
For yourself, how important is it for you to be engaged with consumers and with elected and appointed officials, sharing your story about your family operation and the issues that impact you? How important is that? Why do producers need to engage with consumers and elected officials on all levels?
Well, it goes back to creating a level of understanding on what it takes to produce food and get it to market and feed people in this country and the world, really. Engaging in the officials is another, you know, the personal side of things. They know a name, they can put a name to a face. They have somebody they can contact to when issues arise to get valid, to the point opinions and maybe some advice that, you know, they're not capable of making those decisions without that advice. So it's critical to be involved. It's critical to have provide a resource to any elected official or any lawmaker that's going to make decisions that affect, your well-being or your careers, really.
Dominic, I know you have a lot to probably get done here today at your operation, but do you have a last message that you would like to share with our listeners, whether it be on the trucking issues or just issues within the potato industry itself, and maybe some advice for young producers out there here today?
I would say to the young producers is that involvement is key. Involvement in your industry, staying really connected to your customers, understanding their issues. Staying really connected to anybody that provides transportation for your products and being very flexible to these trucks and drivers with respect and understanding that the hours of service kind of dictates their schedule. So you might have to, be real flexible in your own schedule to get product to market and keep everybody happy in the food chain.
Well, Dominic, you brought up some very good points, and the National Potato Council continues to advocate and be a voice for producers on those key issues we discussed here today, every single day in and day out, out in Washington, D.C. Have a great day, and thank you so much for joining us.
All right. I really appreciate the time to speak with you today, and hopefully moving forward we continue to resolve issues and make the potato industry a better place to be in. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you so much. Friends, don't go away. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about transportation issues. We'll go out to Washington, D.C. with Cam Quarles in the NPC office right after this. Returning back to today's podcast, we are continuing to talk about transportation issues that impact the potato industry, and we are joined again by our friend Cam Quarles, the CEO of the National Potato Council. He's out in Washington, D.C. today. Cam, what's it like being out in the Beltway here today as we move into 2020? How are things shaking up today?
Things are good, Lane. We're keeping it trucking.
Well, as we mentioned, keeping things trucking, thanks to some exemptions over the past few years and hard work by groups like the National Potato Council, we are having trucks on the road carrying fresh produce to buyers, suppliers, and whatnot. And we've discussed at length in today's podcast the electronic logging devices and the hours of service requirements that have come with those ELDs. Cam, it's a common sense approach on our end. Things just kind of make sense when you discuss how common sense would dictate why hours of service really don't work in agriculture. But being on the Hill every day discussing issues just like this, what are you hearing from elected officials when you're discussing the hours of service and the importance of having a permanent exemption for agriculture?
Yeah, Lane, the hours of service, it's been there for a number of years. But I think things have gotten particularly acute in the last couple of years. We've had some trucking shortages that have occurred for some weather related events. We're having some, challenges in getting new drivers to come into the system. And so that the overall capacity issues that we've been facing has focused an increased spotlight on hours of service and then some of these offshoot issues like the recent mandate that hours of service logs are all now electronic devices, somewhat like the black box that you would find in an airplane. That focus on what hours of service really means for agriculture has led people to question whether or not the flexibilities that exist within that rule are modern, up to date, whether they really reflect today's marketplace. Certainly folks who are hauling any type of perishable product and certainly folks who are transporting livestock know all too well that if you are unduly delaying those shipments, it can have a huge impact on the quality of what you're transporting. Certainly, we live in the perishable fruit and vegetable industry. So we're front and center in making sure that these regulations work and work appropriately.
We've seen quite a few exemptions put into place, giving producers time to transport their product and also time for folks in Washington, D.C. to give a full exemption. What are things looking like here in 2020? Are we making progress on this? Are we going to see a point where we're going to have to ask for another extension on the implementation on agriculture?
Well, so there's work going on a variety of different fronts. We've got the Department of Transportation is considering making regulatory modifications to increase flexibilities for hours of service. You've also got a variety of different bills have been introduced by members of Congress, including folks such as the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Colin Peterson, to provide those exemptions for either smaller operators or certain types of operators. It's not entirely clear what the path forward looks like, but I think the collective efforts are a pretty good indication that people are realizing that hours of service needs to have another look, because it's simply the regulations that were written years ago aren't reflective of today's marketplace. I'll give you an example. So there is an exemption for truckers who are picking up an agricultural commodity at a farm, at a packing house, at that first point of loading. There's no similar exemption when that trucker gets to an incredibly congested port facility where they could sit for literally for hours, not moving more than a few hundred yards waiting to be unloaded, when you have hundreds of trucks in front of you trying to get to that container ship. The question is whether a complimentary hours of service exemption should be placed on that type of facility. Would that relieve some of the issues surrounding hours of service? It's likely that could be a piece of a puzzle. Some folks are saying if you're hauling agricultural commodities broadly, you should just have an outright exemption. And there's a debate to be had over that. Certainly the livestock producers have received an exemption for hauling their products. So all of these irons in the fire, Lane, tell me that folks realize maybe hours of service isn't quite operating the way we thought it should for agriculture.
A lot of issues impacting the industry and transportation. Well, it's a key part of the potato business. Cam, is there anything else that you would like to share in terms of transportation and any of the work you continue to do day in and day out in the nation's capital?
Well, certainly, Lane, we're looking, we're very interested in what a future transportation bill may look like on Capitol Hill. One of the biggest challenges in writing a new transportation bill, which our shorthand term for it is a highway bill, but it's really much more than that. However, getting a transportation bill, a new transportation bill, somewhat like a mirror of the farm bill where it would last for 5 years or better, the foundation of that is paying for it. And right now, the foundation of the current transportation bill is the gas tax. And that gas tax hasn't been modified I'm looking back. I think it's been roughly 20 years since it's had a modification. Obviously, a lot of things have changed in 20 years in the United States in terms of the usage of our roadways. Now we've got electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles running around. Is that gas tax, is that the best way to fund highway improvements? And the reason we care so much about that is obviously our folks are hauling commodities across the country every single day. Second part of that is if we're able to get some improvements in the construction of bridges and roadways, it may open up an opportunity in the future to talk about increasing truck weights, which would allow larger trucks with more axles, what we believe have more stopping power and are actually safer and used in a lot of countries around the world, it would allow those trucks to go on the roadways and actually reduce the overall amount of trucks that are going across our highways every day. But it's hard to imagine that you're going to get an increase in those truck weights absent some type of funding to repair what in certain areas are aging bridges that may not be able to support heavier weights. So that's one of the big issues that we're working on. I don't know that there's an immediate solution out there, Lane, but a lot of effort is being spent to try to get to one.
Very complex, but a very vital aspect to our business. Cam, it's been a great conversation here today with you, with Dominic, and of course with John. And we're going to continue to have the conversations that impact the potato industry here on the Eye on Potatoes podcast. But we need you to subscribe, whether that's on your Android or iPhone, Apple devices, and share these shows with your friends on social media. And make sure and tag the National Potato Council on all their social media platforms as well. Cam, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us here today before we wrap it all up?
I think we're good, Lane. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much. Enjoyed the conversation.
Great to talk to you again as well. That's going to do it for today's Eye on Potatoes podcast. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to the National Potato Council's Eye on Potatoes podcast with host Lane Nordlund. For more information, visit nationalpotatocouncil.org and make sure to subscribe to the podcast today.